And she was predestined for just such a time as this. She was ordained to make this offering at this time because Jesus had a need. And she came, and all she did, she followed what her soul was telling her. She had heard about Jesus. She had been one of the worst sinners in the city. She was full of sin and wickedness and trespass. But she heard about Jesus. She heard about how he pardoned the woman that was taken in adultery. There was some way that the Spirit of God was already dealing with her. No, she had a certain thought towards him. And then there came an opportunity for her. But it wasn't an easy opportunity. The circumstances weren't conducive to her being able to express what was inside of her soul. There were so many other things that were in the way that it was so easy for her to listen to. You know, she could have got tired in the process and saying, but hey, this is just hard. You know, this is too much. You know, how much am I expected to do for the Lord? But the soul, there's something about the soul that it has a persevering power. When there's something in the soul that desires to be expressed, it's like the prophet says, that seed that you plant and they can put concrete on top. And that grass seed inside of there, it will fight its way to express itself. And you'll find it will come up under the side of a concrete block and you'll find the thickest of the grass is there. You know, and there's something about this life principle that is inside of the soul. But there's also room while we're in the flesh because we have a human spirit as well. You know, and Paul's warning us here to say, look, your aim and your objective, your commission right to the end of this journey is to do good, is to express that something that you're supposed to express from your soul. Because that's how you're going to glorify God. Because if we're predestined, if that seed is inside of the soul and we're born again, that seed is going to express exactly what it's supposed to express in the season that it's supposed to express it. And that's why he put us in this place and at this time. Yeah? And he put his seed in us so that we could express something at this time. But the soul has the spirit around it, has the body. You know, there's a lot of things that are in the way of the soul expressing itself. And because of this principle, because of the world that's against that soul expression, the world is not a friend to grace. The world's not going to help you to express what's inside of your soul. The world is going to always be in the way of that expression. Your spirit, your memory, your reasoning, that realm, it's never going to help God if you're not careful. You know, unless you really get in the spirit and you cast down those imaginations, you keep that realm under control and you meditate on the correct things and so forth. But there's so much inside of that realm of memory and reasoning and feelings and so forth that can so easily kick in as well and hinder this expression of the soul. You know, so for this soul to really express itself, friends, it needs communion. It needs continual soul communion. That's what we need. For your soul to be able to keep on going, to express itself week after week, day after day, to do that which is good, and to all men, especially to them that be of the household of faith. Friends, that's something beyond what the natural can do. That's going to need some supernatural. That's going to need some quickening power. Now that's going to need a certain type of a communion inside of your soul. Because Paul's warning us that it's natural that after a while you're going to get weary in well-doing. You know, because of this opposition and because of this law, Paul, if you go and read in Galatians 6, he's speaking the whole of Galatians 6 of the principle of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. And he's saying, look, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. And he first takes it in the negative and says, hey, you sinner, you're in a lot of trouble because everything that you're sowing, you're going to reap one day. If you die in unbelief, you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap. Then he turns it around to us now. And he says, look, believers, don't be weary in well-doing because when you sow, you're going to reap. Amen. You just keep sowing. There's a harvest time. Amen. There's a harvest time in this life and there's a harvest time in the world to come. So don't be weary in well-doing. Because if you keep sowing, if you keep, you know, being diligent, that's why he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, in God's appointed time, we shall reap if what? We faint not. So that's why we need communion, friends. And that's why we need real communion. We need communion with Him. And that's why as believers, we need real soul communion with one another. Now, we don't need mind communion like we say. Now, don't just be reasoning with each other's minds and speaking those things. But when you can really, really have communion from the heart, from the soul. The other day, I posted the one thing on one of those forums when the prophet was saying it about when you pray from your soul. Every time you pray from your soul, God responds. He responds to every soul expression. You know, that's why Jacob, he had prayed and prayed and prayed from his mind all those years. But finally at Peniel, he prayed from his soul. He poured out his soul before the Lord. And that brought down the angel of the Lord and brought a blessing and brought a change. And you know what it's like. Your soul wants to express itself. But it's covered over with so many things, if you're not careful, that those things will hold back that expression. They'll hold back that soul from really expressing itself. How many times does David say in the Psalms, I poured out my soul within me? Ah, friends, that's beyond words. You know, it's not praying with your mind, reasoning, what am I going to say next? How am I going to say? No, you've gone well beyond that. Your soul just pours itself out. There's something inside of there that just wants to express itself. You know, and it gets frustrated by the mind, the soul. It says, get out of the way. I want to express myself. I don't want you to stand in the way. No, it gets frustrated with the flesh when your body is tired, your mind is tired. But your soul is wanting to express itself. Ah, friends, every single believer has the potential for soul expression. For that soul to express itself. Because already you have soul communion. The very thing that brought the new birth to you, that brought the seed to life, was you had communion with Him. Within the veil, you've already received that former rain, which has come and germatized that seed. You know, and it starts now wanting to express itself and wants to express itself. But because of the life that we're living in, Paul had to come to believers, and he doesn't say just to you. He says, let us not faint. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Because imagine Paul with all the things that he went through. There was so much scope for Paul in the end to say, but yay, I'm sowing and I'm sowing and I'm sowing and I'm sowing and I'm just getting a lot of resistance back. You know, hey, it's like the farmer. You know, the farmer sows and reaps and plows in hope, but he doesn't see the harvest immediately. You know, but the farmer can't get tired in the middle of the process. And you know, he's sowing diligently. He's prepared the land. And then you know, he gets tired and says, but I'm not seeing very many results here yet. There's an unbreakable law of God that what you sow, you're going to reap. But it's in His season and His time. And God has a law that we reap the earnest, the down payment many times immediately. When you do well, you reap a down payment of that. But the full reward comes at the end of the journey. The full harvest is being stored up for us in the law of the harvest. That whatsoever you sow, that you shall reap. But it's easy, saints, in the middle of it, when you're laboring and you're trying to sow and you're trying to plant in whatever aspect of your life that it is. You're trying to deal with your children. You're trying to deal with Sunday school. You're trying to deal in church. You're trying to do whatsoever that it is. It's a very easy thing when you're sowing and there's resistance comes. This comes. Confusion comes. Frustration comes. You don't see the harvest immediately. You've got to come back to the scripture. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Yeah? For whatsoever we sow, we shall reap. Yeah? If we faint not. That's the law. And now your soul isn't going to faint if you allow it to have free expression. But if you allow the other things to get in the way and you allow those things to dominate, you'll really get yourself out of the program of God. A little story, I read it, I really liked it. I'll read this, a true story. It says, a dying soldier asked a chaplain, he asked the minister, to write to his former Sunday school teacher. Tell her that I'm a Christian because of what she taught me in Sunday school. He sent the message and received the following reply from the teacher. Last month, I resigned from my Sunday school class, for I felt my teaching had been fruitless. And then came the message from my former pupil. May God forgive me for my impatience and my lack of faith. I'm going to ask my pastor to let me teach again. And I promise by God's grace not to quit. You see, sometimes you want to give in on things too soon. But there's a law. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. That doesn't fail. That law will never fail. So if you're sowing righteousness, you're sowing the right seed, you're sowing, you're allowing your soul, whatever calling that you have, to express itself, it has to bring forth. But God has it in His appointed time. And there's always a season between seed time and harvest. You know, the seed time harvest doesn't come immediately after seed time. No, there's a time that you've got to, the farmer has to wait in hope. He's got to have faith. He's got to have patience. He can't keep going to the seed and pulling it up and see, is the seed growing? No, there's a law. Now, you sow that seed, it's going to bring forth the harvest. And the harvest is determined by how much seed you use. How much the farmer labors and plants is going to determine how much comes in the harvest time. If he sows sparingly, he's going to reap sparingly. But if you allow your soul to express itself in an abundance of service, now you really allow your soul to express itself irregardless of what other people say, whatever's going on, no matter what your feelings tell you, no matter how you feel today, how you feel tomorrow, that's got nothing to do with it. The soul is not governed by feelings. It's your human spirit that's governed by your feelings. That's why one day you'll feel you want to do something for the Lord. The next day you'll feel in your spirit that you don't. Yeah, because it's backslidden. You know, it's fallen that realm. But inside of your soul, there's always a desire. There's always a something that's pressing you to say, press on. Press on. Listen in this message, Rejected King, when the prophet speaks about beyond the curtain of time. I'll just read a few quotes just on this particular thought. The prophet says, and I don't want you to miss this. It has changed me. I can't be the same Brother Branham that I was. I looked and I heard something kept saying, you're just starting. Press the battle. Just keep pressing. Now the prophet was 1960 here. He's about to get into a lot of opposition. Now he's going to move into his full ministry as Elijah. Doors are going to close. People are going to turn away. Yeah? Before he's been so popular during the healing revival and that. So the Lord in His grace shows him the future reward. He shows him. He takes him to that place to show. Let me show you what happens with your sowing. I will show you the harvest. My. He allows him to go and see this great multitude, this harvest. Why? Because it's very easy to get weary and well-doing. Because of opposition, because of, you know, just the laws of this world that are so in opposition, the laws of fallen nature that are in opposition to soul expression. That's how the Lord, like Paul was doing there to Galatians, trying to encourage them, to exhort them. To say, don't be weary, don't faint, don't be discouraged. That's what it means. Don't be disheartened. Don't lose hope and say, but my labor's in vain. You know, is this ever going to really bring forth? Now, I've been laboring and laboring and laboring, but what is it really bringing forth? Paul says, no. We look not to the seen, but we look to that which is not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporal, but that which is unseen, that's the reality that we're looking for. That's where we're storing up this full harvest. So it says, just keep pressing and press the battle. Keep going, keep going. And I heard something say, would you like to see just beyond the curtain? I said, it would help me so much. We all need help like that. We all need times when we get into that soul communion and He reveals something to us. He encourages us. He shows us. He drops the handfuls on purpose in the fields of Boaz, so that we see our labor's not in vain. He gives us an earnest, a down payment even now of his blessing in communion, of eating of the first fruits of our labors sometimes. And what is it? It's a foretaste of the full reward. When Ruth was partaking of that barley, which was the handfuls that were dropped on purpose, it was just a foretaste. There was a full reward coming for her. And the prophet speaks about Ruth rewarded. But if she had have got weary in well-doing, if she had have said, look, these hot days of gleaning, that's taken too long. I can marry one of these young men. Yes, she would have forsaken the full reward. But there was a soul expression. There was something inside of her soul where she wasn't leading herself. It was her hap, her chance to end up in the field of Boaz. Yeah? And that portion of the field that belongs to Boaz. And she just felt something inside of her soul said, stop here. And she stopped there. And then one thing started after that. And I'm sure when she first met Boaz, something moved inside of her soul. She just felt there's something beyond the natural here. This isn't just issues of flesh and blood. This isn't just chemistry in the body of a person and chemistry in the body of another person. There's predestination here. There's the footsteps of the righteous being ordered of the Lord. No, there's purpose here. And I've got something in my soul that wants to be expressed. And he's led me to this place. This seems to be the place that this is going to lead me to the next stage so that I can really express what's inside of myself. Amen. But there was a lot of opposition. There were a lot of natural things. If she'd have looked around, she might have just coming back with those gleanings day by day. She might have looked at certain times and says, but hey, this is hopeless. This situation's never going to change. This is going to be like this till the end. But that's not the law. The law is whatsoever you sow. Amen. And if you're sowing from your soul, you're sowing in righteousness, you're allowing that soul to express itself, there's coming a harvest time. Amen. In this world and in the world to come. Amen. There's definitely a harvest time. Amen. And we know that. So he says, it would help me so much. And I looked, and in just a moment, one breath, I came into a little place that slanted. And then he saw himself on the bed. And then how he saw all of this great multitude coming now in the prime of youth. And he says, and I looked this way and that, and they were coming by the thousands. And I said, I don't understand this. I said, why? And there was Hope, my first wife. She said, my precious brother. And there was another woman standing there. And Hope hugged this woman, and they hugged me. And I thought, this has to be something different. And then the voice that was speaking from above said, you know it is written in the Bible that the prophets were gathered with their people. Ah, friends, we're going to be gathered with our people. And the more labor, the more we allow our soul to express itself now, the greater harvest you're going to gather with there. Is that not so? But if we now put our affections and our attention, our strength and our lives into the realm of the human spirit, our own ambitions, our own agendas, which have a part, but they've got to have a secondary part, we're going to sow sparingly, friends. And when you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But when the prophet got there, he didn't realize the impact. He had been sowing the seed. He had been sowing the seed, traveling from place to place, not knowing the effect. Just like that Sunday school teacher who got disappointed. She didn't know that soldier dying on his deathbed was going to write back to her and say, please. He just felt an impulse in himself. My Sunday school teacher needs to know that I died in the faith. And she's just resigned from being a Sunday school teacher. She fainted a little bit too early. She was a little bit too weary in well-doing. Where Paul exhorted, let us not be weary in well-doing. For if we sow, we shall reap. We shall reap. And the prophet says, this is the voice said, this is when you'll be gathered with your people. And I said, then they'll be real. I can feel them. That's how real the reward is, friends. It's not a fictitious reward we're speaking about. You will sow spiritually and you will reap something that's real. Amen. You will reap a real reward. And the voice said, they're not Branhams. Those are your converts. The ones that you've led to the Lord. And the voice in the other message, when he explains that the prophet sees the one sister rejoicing so much. And then the angel speaks and said, you know why she's rejoicing so much? Because she was past 90 when you led her to the Lord. And here she can never be old again. And they all screamed at once. If you hadn't have went, we wouldn't be here. Oh, friends, is that not a real thing to think about? If you hadn't have went, they wouldn't be there. That just shows how important it is that soul wants to express itself, and there's a purpose that it's going to express itself for. And there's going to be opposition, and the guns of the enemy are going to be against you. And Satan's going to play with your reasoning, play with your memory. He's going to get into all sorts of people around you, you know, to try to discourage you from expressing what's inside of that soul. But that's all that we're called to do as believers, is express what's in your soul. Amen. Let that seed of your soul bring forth of its own kind. Amen. Just give it sufficient water. Just give it communion, soul communion. Let your fellowship in the word get beyond the realm of the mind, the intellect. Let it get to the place, the prophet says, that it bathes down. He says the greatest distance is from here to here. Things that are caught in the mind, friends, they don't express themselves in a soul expression. No. They don't. But that which is caught in the soul, that soul communion, when you have soul communion with him, when you enter into that inner veil with him yourself, and he overshadows you in your soul the way he overshadowed the Virgin Mary in her womb, you're going to bring forth now. There's going to be an expression. You're going to bring forth what you ordained to bring forth. And friends, that's why, though it's an individual move, it's a body move. Because we need one another. Now, we all need the ministry of Barnabas now and again. The son of consolation. Those that have been given the ministry of encouragement. The Holy Ghost, the comforter. One of the words is he's the encourager. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, you'll never be able to. You'll get so discouraged. But those times when you're just feeling, but is it worth it? No, I'm sowing and sowing and sowing and I don't seem to be seeing much of a harvest. The encourager comes. Amen. The encourager, Barnabas, the greater than Barnabas is here. The son of consolation, he comes and he encourages you once again. And then you gird up your loins. And that's why the Lord had to say to the prophet, just keep pressing on. Amen. Just press the battle. Don't look at the way things are now. If you only knew what was at the end of the journey. Amen. The voice says the great reward is at the end. Amen. But we receive a portion here. We receive the blessing here because whenever he comes, something good happens. And whenever you allow your soul to express itself, he comes. And something good always happens. When you go against your feelings and you go and speak to that person, your neighbor, speak to the person at work, see how he comes. Amen. When you allow your soul to express itself, but never make another person the standard of your soul expression, because every one of us is unique. Every one of us is individual. We all have separate callings. Your soul is to express something that my soul can't express. You have a peculiar calling. There's a specific purpose that he put you. He planted you in this season, in this time, in this place. Amen. Because there's something in your soul that's predestined to be expressed now. Amen. This is the season that it's to be expressed. Amen. Oh, friends, let's not be weary in well-doing. Amen. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Oh, the reward is great. The reward is great. The prophet went there and he says, they said, if you hadn't have went, we wouldn't be here. So imagine the prophet when he came back from that soul communion there. And he came back to earth. Do you think he looked at people the same way? He didn't. When he'd see somebody, he would see a soul there. He would see, but it may be. If I sow, maybe this is one that's in the harvest. He didn't just see it as natural people anymore. He didn't just see his labors being sweating and toiling and traveling from place to place. And you know, sometimes having criticism and the things people would say and the things that people would do. And like we always say, the human mind, it's always going to pick up the criticism first and pay attention to that rather than pay attention to the things that are there to encourage you in your soul expression. This is something that seems to attract your attention to those kind of things. But friends, let's never forget we're doing these things as if unto the Lord. Amen. The one who called you, the one who ordained you, he's the one who's looking to you. And you and I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, the judgment of rewards. And that's where now whatever was a soul expression receives its reward. Amen. He says, wood, hay, and stubble will be burnt. That which came from your own selfishness, your own pride. Because religion comes from the human spirit. Religion is a covering. It's trying to get something for itself. Yeah? That's why religion will perish and pass away. But genuine soul expression. Your soul is not selfish. Your soul doesn't express itself for its own good. It expresses itself for the glory of God. That's what it's predestined to do. It expresses the purpose of God that you were born for. And every soul expression, Jesus said, if somebody gives you a cup of water in the name of a disciple, they will not lose their reward. That's the law of sowing and reaping. Every time you allow your soul to express itself, there's a reward. You get the reward now. You'll have such a communion with them. Because he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. And then you get the full reward at the end. It's like now you receive the former rain of the blessing and you wait for the latter rain to come at the end. But that's the principle of God's word. And that's why Paul was exhorting the saints to say, don't be weary in well-doing. There's plenty of scope. There's plenty of opposition. There's plenty of things to discourage. There's plenty of things to dishearten. There'll be plenty of things that take place that you look and say, but is it worthwhile? Is this really getting anywhere? I'll read you one more story I found when one man was speaking about a true testimony. It says, there was a pastor of a small rural church in Scotland. He had been forced out by the elders of the church because they didn't see sufficient fruit in his ministry. The village in which the pastor served was a difficult place. People's hearts were cold and hostile to the truth. During the time when he served, he had much opposition. But he had one positive response to his preaching. When the offering plate was being passed during a service, a young boy took the plate, put it on the floor, and stood up and stepped into the offering plate. When asked to explain, he replied, he had been so deeply touched by the minister's life that while he had no money to give, he wanted to give himself as an offering to the Lord. The boy who stepped into the plate was Robert Moffat, yeah, who became the pioneer missionary to Southern Africa. My, that's amazing, friends. Sometimes imagine if you had fainted and said, hey, what's the point here? Our harvest, our fruits, you leave it up to him. You just allow your soul to express itself and leave the harvest to him. As long as you know that you've allowed your soul to express what he wants you to express, friends, he knows how to bring the rest of the things together. And when the prophet got there now, look at the end, he says, I said, do I have to return back now? He said, yes, but keep pressing on. And I looked and I could see the people just as far as I could see. And they were coming, wanting to hug me and screaming, saying, "Our precious brother." Just then a voice said, "All that you have ever loved and all that ever loved you, God has given them to you here." Oh, what a reward, friends. What a reward. All that you loved. He goes on to clarify it. He says, and I looked, and here came my old dog, Fritz, came walking up. Here came my horse and laid his head over my shoulder naked. And it said, all that you ever loved, and all that ever loved you, God has given them into your hand through your ministry. Through your soul expression, because your ministry is your soul expression. Because of your soul expression, because you took the pain, because you faced up on the front line of the battle, because you allowed Jesus to command the boat. Yeah? You gave him preeminence. You allowed him to express himself. Great is your reward. In the sixth seal, the prophet says, when he explains that point, he says, it was reward for service. That was reward for service. Ah, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at Paul, what he says. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know 1 Corinthians 15 is the rapture, the resurrection chapter. Some of us shall not see death. We shall be changed. The body that you sow it in corruption. You know, you harvest it in corruption and so forth. And then he finishes, he's speaking about the resurrection, he's speaking about the rapture, he's speaking about the gathering of the redeemed. And then he finishes it in verse 58. The very last verse in the chapter says, therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, there's a resurrection morning. There's a resurrection of the just. There's a resurrection unto rewards. And anything which you've done, you know, that song that, what's the man, the guy from Belfast sings, when he sings about when it's all been said and done, he says, only that which is done for love's reward shall stand the test of time. That which was done, the gold, the precious stones, the silver that Paul speaks about, it'll be tried by fire. It's going to stand the test because it was done from your soul. It was done from right within. You know, it wasn't done for selfishness. It wasn't done to have a big name. It wasn't done to prove a point to anybody. It was just there was something in you that wanted to express itself and you allowed it to express itself for the glory of God. That's how Paul says, let's be steadfast. Let's be unmovable. Yeah? For you know that what you're doing, the labor that you're putting in, it's not in vain in the Lord. Every single little thing that you do from your soul for Him, you're going to meet it one day. The prophet says, you're casting your bread upon the water. The Bible says, it shall return to you after many days. And he says, the prophet, in the resurrection morning, we know the quote, he says, there'll be many there that you didn't think would be there. But they'll be there because of your testimony. Hallelujah. He says, that's when that bread that you sowed on the troubled human waters will come back to you. On the resurrection morning. And then you're going to have Harry Reagan singing about the Sunday school teacher. Yeah. The man when he gets up there, the sister when he gets there, or the brother, whoever it was. Yeah. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I was a life that was changed. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And one day when you prayed that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Yeah. I'm a life that was changed. You'll meet your reward, friends. You can't but do it from your heart and not receive a reward. You're storing up for the harvest because you're sowing the seed. You're sowing the seed. And he who goes sowing with tears shall come again with rejoicing, bringing precious sheaves with him. That's the promise of the word. It has to be like that. Let's take this thought here as we come to a close. Let's take this woman. And some of the things which the prophet speaks about her, when she comes to Simon the Pharisee's house. Because she had a soul that wanted to express itself. This predestined seed was in the most unlikely of places. She was so defiled outwardly, but she had a seed inside of her. She had a soul that when it just first heard of Christ, when it just heard of the works of Jesus, maybe she had been somewhere where he had been, or whatever that it was that she had been through, but something brought that seed. It started to come to life. And it says, and she came to the place, to Simon's house, and there was Jesus sitting with dirty feet. And it says she was looking over and she tipped on her toes. And she looks and she looks up. And they're all the pastors are tipping their glasses, talking about great things that's going on, and their new members and so forth. And her precious eyes looked over in the corner and she stopped. And then she caught an inspiration. There was an impulse struck her soul. I can do something for him. Always listen to that. There's going to be a lot of other things come against that, but always listen to that impulse. That's something within the veil. That's something that strikes you in your soul. Because your soul's wanting to express itself. Your soul was sold for just such a time as that. She was put in that place in that time. The Lord allowed her to become the worst of the worst in the city so that he could show the glories of his grace just at that time. She said, looks like I've seen that man somewhere before. Who is that? Oh, it's that Galilean prophet. I've always wanted to see him. Why don't they pay attention to him? And she looked and tears began to run down her cheeks. And she wiped her eyes and said, that's him, and look, his feet are dirty. Look at his parched lips and the dirt on his hair and his neck. Oh, they haven't made him lovable. How true that is today, the prophet says. And all at once, something strikes her. That's a blessedness, saints. Amen. Whenever something strikes you, there's a chance for reward. Amen. And you're not doing it for the reward. You're doing it because your soul just wants to express itself. Amen. We're not doing it for the motive that you want to get something. No, that's not our any. The soul doesn't look for reward. The soul's looking for expression. The soul's only satisfied when it expresses the glory of God, when it expresses the purpose of God. And friends, without communion with him, without soul communion with one another, we quickly become weary. We quickly faint. We quickly think, ah, it's taking too long. Let somebody else do this. Let somebody else. No, friends. Don't be too quick to faint. Don't be too quick to give up on something that you've been sowing into. Just go back to soul communion with him again. Just get a fresh anointing inside of the soul. Lay aside your human understanding. Lay aside your reasoning. Cast down those imaginations and let your soul continue to express itself. Because he doesn't make mistakes. It didn't strike her by mistake. She was exactly the right person at exactly the right time in exactly the right place. And God had ordained it like that. So down the street she goes, and she goes up her little crickety steps. And she unlocks her door and she goes in. Oh, she said, no, I can't do that. I just can't do that. I must be dreaming. That's all that's going to happen. That's not her soul speaking now. That's her mind. That's her fallen carnal human spirit trying to stop her soul expression. It's always going to be like that. That expression of the soul has to run the gauntlet. It has to overcome, because the promise is to the overcomer. It has to navigate through difficulties, has to navigate through frustrations, has to navigate through unexpected disappointments. But friends, that soul has perseverance. That soul has a power of perseverance that will surprise you if you just allow it to express itself. She said, oh, I can't. If I would go before him, he would know what kind of woman I was. I can't take this money that I've earned in this way. It's not good money in that way. But he's unlovable. He's dirty. He's got dirty feet. And this is all that I've got. And the prophet says, that's all that God requires. The way you are, with what you've got, let the inspiration strike. And just allow it to express itself. Don't think too much. Don't reason it out. But I'm not the right person. I shouldn't do this. Or maybe that. Maybe. Oh, don't worry about that. He will take care of those things. Amen. Just follow it through. And see what comes at the end. The prophet says, you will say, I can't come in the life that I'm now living in. He says, oh yes, you can. You say, but I've drunk, I've stolen, I've done this, I've lied. I don't care how you are. He wants you as you are. He wants you. That's why he comes to you as you are. He deals with you as you are. He doesn't tell you to do a whole lot of other things first. He knows the right place, he knows the right time, and he knows the right way. And all you and I had to do to be born again was just yield. Was just surrender. Was just say, I can't understand this. How can you love me? How can you love me? And then the soul started to express itself. And we love him because he first loved us. We allowed it to express. She says, now, wait a minute now. What will they do? You see how the reasoning is always going to kick in. What are they going to do? What if he will condemn me? Wonder what will happen. But something on the inside of her kept giving her courage. That's what she needed to listen to. Not what was happening here. But that something that was burning inside giving her courage. That something that was telling her, don't be weary. That something that was telling her, just keep pressing on. Just keep pressing the battle. That's what she needed to listen to. He says, something said it's the right thing to do. Something said it's right. Certainly it's the right thing to do. And you can feel it inside of yourself because my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. You know it. You know when he desires you to do something. Ah. So she goes down now to get the perfume and he says, what do you want, a dime bottle? No, I want the best that you've got. It's for a very special occasion. That's it, a very special occasion. And any time he brings you into fellowship with him and he wants you to do something for him, it's a very special occasion. Anything you can do for the Lord, no matter how small, just to teach your thing, Sunday school, it's a very special occasion. It's a very special occasion. Dealing with souls like that, just to sit and to tell your children about Jesus. It's a very special occasion. And friends, if it's a very special occasion, give the best that you've got. Give the best that you've got. The prophet says, oh, we give one little prayer a day, just 10 cents. He says, oh, goodness. This is a rare and a special occasion when we meet Jesus. He just doesn't want you to be a member of the church. He wants the best that you've got. Amen. And he's already put it in you. What did he expect from her? He needed water. So he gave her tears. He needed a towel. So he gave her long hair. She didn't have to go and worry about all these other things. And when there was that one special thing that she needed to buy, she had the money. That's right. Doesn't matter where it came from. At the time that he met her, he knew she will have exactly what I need her to have. Amen. And it's the same as you and I. You've already got in your experience, if you are a believer, if you're born again, in your experience, you've already got what it takes. Amen. He's already ministered, the prophet says, he ministered the towel to her. He ministered the water to her. The tears of repentance. The hair that she used to dry his feet. And the alabaster box. So up she goes. And the devil kept talking to her. Now, you're going to get really embarrassed, sure enough. They'll throw you out of the house. The prophet says, what do you care? Just get to Jesus. That's the main thing. Just allow the soul to find its destination. That impulse, that burden, that something that wants to express itself. Don't worry. Don't worry about thinking of what's going to be the repercussions, what's going to be the effects. Just let it express itself. Amen. Just follow it to the end of the journey and see what it's going to be. You're going to find yourself at Jesus' feet as well. Amen. You're going to find Him ministering the blessing to you. You're going to find that soul expression like with her. It can change the whole atmosphere. Amen. It can totally change an atmosphere in a place. Amen. You can go to a place where people are discouraged and they're down and negative, and you allow your soul to express itself. And it changes the atmosphere. You'll do something. That soul will do something, friend, because it's ordained to do it. So she gets up there to the place, and she looks over, and there, he's still sitting there. Because there was no one else to do the job. She was the one ordained to do it. So until she did it, he was going to sit there. And the prophet says, I've always wondered, why did he go there? And then he says, when she came, that's when you understand why he was there. You understand why. And he's still sitting there. Yes, he was invited. He came, but nobody paid any attention to him. They was having a big time, having too much fun. Friends, we need to choose in this life what we want to do. Do you want to express what's in our soul or do you want to have fun? Amen. When you have song worship, do you want to have fun or do you want to express what's inside of your soul? Because expressing your soul is going to bring the blessing. It's going to bring His presence down. It's going to shut you in the holy place with Him inside of your soul. But if you come for something else, that's what you're going to receive. That's why the prophet says Jesus sat there. He never expressed anything. All of that full redemption that was inside of him, none of it was expressed to anybody there. Because they never made him feel welcome. No one else ministered from the soul to him. Everybody else would say things, oh, Jesus, we're glad to see you here. But it wasn't from the soul. It was from the mind. It was from the realm of the human spirit with the psychology of people and playing mind games with each other. But finally, here came someone who wanted to worship from the soul. And that's what made all the difference in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And that's all Jesus was looking at. Now, friends, this type's loudest here. Here's the rich man, rich, increased with goods, who thinks he needs nothing. Here's the Son of Man himself coming to loudest here. Yeah. And they leave him unwelcomed. The word with dirty feet, a dirty name. But there's someone there who's going to redeem the situation. There's someone there whose soul is ordained to a certain expression that's going to show that he is who he really says that he is. And that's what you're ordained to do. We're here to express, to show that he is who he says that he is. This message is what we say that it is. That cloud is what it says that it is. And it's only your soul expression that you ordain to that's going to do that. It's not going to be your human programs, our human instrumentality, our human compassion, our human, that's got nothing to do with it. Those things are good in their place. But it's that something inside of your soul to allow that to express itself. Let's come to a close. Yes, and so she stops and she looks around. And she thought, how can I get to him? There he's sitting there so unwelcome. There's always opposition. When Bartimaeus wanted to come to him, there was opposition. When the woman with the issue of blood wanted to come, she had to press through the crowd. No matter anything spiritual, it's going to have to meet opposition. And the battleground's in the mind. That's where he's going to fight you. That's where the discouragement comes in. It's not weariness in the flesh. Paul's not saying don't get too tired. Although tiredness you've got to be careful of. Don't press yourself too far. It was a spiritual weariness. It was that weariness from reasoning things out and examining things and saying, but it's, you know, is it really worthwhile doing these things? Now, is there ever going to be something come forth from this? Paul says, don't play in that realm. Amen. Don't allow that expression. Rather express it from the soul. The prophet says, this little fellow, she said, if I can just get to him, I'll change this picture. That's what makes a difference, friends. In your home with your children, you need to get to him. That changes the picture. You need to let your soul express itself. You need soul communion with him so that he can express himself from your soul. That's going to change the situation. So, here she comes. She's determined to get to Jesus. Brother, that's what I like about it. I don't care what the outside world says. Let's get to Jesus is the main thing. So she moves through the crowd. And as she's pushing them right and left, she runs right into the side of Jesus. Oh, and she stands by him. And the devil begins to say, now he's going to rebuke you. It'll never happen. Your soul will never deceive you. Your soul will never lead you to a place that God doesn't desire you to go. It'll never. Your mind will. Your mind will make you make decisions that will take you out of the program of God. But your soul will never lead you astray if it's born again. It'll never. So she looks at his dirty feet and she knows that shouldn't be that way. And she begins to weep so much for her sins until the tears begin to drop upon his feet. And she takes his feet up like this and she begins to rub them. What did Pharisee do? He stuck out his chest. Oh my. He blowed up like a frog. Somebody broke up the party. Somebody didn't break up the party. We're glad to break up those kind of parties. We're glad to change that kind of... When you're at work, you're at college, and people want to speak their nonsense, you can change the situation. You can break up the party, yeah, just by a soul expression. Not your human temperament, not your human nature, but allowing him to express himself. And the prophet says, then she starts to wash his feet. Look what beautiful water. I believe for the first time since Jesus had been at the feast, he felt at home. That's when he feels at home. She was repentant. She didn't care what anybody thought. She was in the presence of Jesus. What does she care about her actions? Her heart was just pouring out the fountains of repentance. She was pouring something out, friends, from her heart. Before she poured out the alabaster box, there was something that poured out from within. And that's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. If you want a deeper communion with the Lord, you allow that soul to express itself more. You just follow that through. When that impulse comes, when that something strikes your heart, when you think to do something for the Lord, you might have been frustrated in it before, but when that impulse strikes you once again, be like her. Be determined. Be determined and go on through and see what a difference it'll make. So she stops and takes this alabaster box. She breaks it again. And she just pours the whole thing over him, on him. All that she's got. Now, we might not have very much, but we can give all that we've got. When we come to service on Sunday, when we come to song worship, let's give all we've got. Let's give all that we've got in the worship. When it comes to time for prayer, let's give all that we've got. Don't leave something behind. Give all that you've got. Let something express itself from the soul. Don't worry about what other people think. If there's an impulse, if there's an inspiration, if there's something stirring, if there's something that's wanting to get to him and you can sense now's my opportunity to get to him, just give everything that you've got. He says, yeah, sure, the celebrity were there. All the society of the city was there. She looked like she was out of her head. Maybe she was. But she was at the feet of Jesus. And I can see those little eyes as he turns that sacred head. And she looked, and he looked at that little woman. She was startled. Her big brown eyes, as beautiful as they was, looked up. Then he turned and he looked at her. She went there not knowing what to expect. She went there just wanting to express something. She now looked and said, but hey, he's paying attention to me. Then he turns and he looked at the little woman and he said, oh brother, I'd rather have him say that to me than to make me the Archbishop or the Pope of Rome. Your sins, which are many, has all been washed away. Go in peace. That's why I said, whenever there's a soul expression, you receive a reward here and you receive the great reward. You receive the reward of his blessing. You receive the reward of he kisses your soul. He blesses your soul. He'll do something for you. You know, it comes down to that question when the prophet was asked in Hebrews to say, the prophet says, what is worship? It says, worship is an expression. It says, worship's not just to come to church and to sing and all those kind. That's part of worship. He says, but worship is to tell someone about Jesus. Amen. Worship is to allow that expression. It says, when somebody is sick at work, you go and tell them, there's a God that heals. He says, when somebody's spouting off their mouth saying things that are bad, you take that person on the side, you find the right opportunity, yeah? You follow that leadership and you tell them, my friend, you don't have to live a life like that. And that kind of an expression, it completely changes even the atmosphere inside of your own life. Like we said on Sunday, you'll get up in the morning, the devil will be on your case. He'll be trying to give you a kicking. You'll have thoughts in your mind. There comes an opportunity to do something for Christ. You just allow that to express itself. It may be sacrifice involved. It may be whatever's involved. You just allow that expression to come forth and see how it changes. It revolutionizes the atmosphere around your soul. Because whenever you express from your soul, he comes down. And whenever he comes, something good always takes place. So saints, let's not rob ourselves of the blessing. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's not allow things to hinder us. Let's encourage one another while it's called today. You know, we need those kind of things. Let's appreciate, saints, let's really appreciate every person who does something in the household of God. I think we really need to appreciate because there's the capacity in this life for us to get weary. There's a capacity in us when we're not seeing that harvest as quickly as we thought it was going to come to think, but hey, is this what I'm really supposed to be doing? No, 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 no. Let's encourage one another to keep coming and bringing our souls into soul communion with him so that soul might be fresh so that it can express itself and that brings forth a reward. Let's stand. Let's sing one song, saints, before we come to preparation for communion. It's amazing how many times the prophet spoke that particular message in so many different places. And every single time he's trying to make a point. And there's a real, real lesson inside of there.
Because you've chosen the narrow road.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven waiting for you because of what you decided. prophecy. The angel told to the great messenger.
Yes, for me, oh.
Let's prepare ourselves before we come to the communion. You express what's in your soul. Let's all call upon his name for a season. Oh, Father, I bring myself before thee, Lord, even upon this day and at this time. Thank you, Father, that you've given unto me, Lord, grace and mercy, Lord.